You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at the South Point Hotel Casino, Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Glad you could hang with us tonight. Whole bunch of football, a little bit of basketball. Brooklyn still down 12, Kelly. 5:15 left in the third, but KD at the line to try to cut into that lead. Did you get in on Brooklyn at all? No?
Trying.
Spinning.
Efforting. Yeah, getting spun. All that good stuff.
KD's first free throw was up, and it is good.
Kelly, I know we grazed over it, but like,
countdown.
Do you feel like a slight bit of FOMO that even though it was just a small tournament that we didn't care about, that Victor Hovland won a tournament and we didn't have a bet on?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Is this now two, right? Didn't he win two in the fall?
Yeah.
So it's two that we didn't have bets on.
This is a great conversation because I had the same thought today. There's like some random, so you know, like there's the Grand Slams in tennis, then there's the thousands, then there's the 500s, then there's the 250s, and there's actually 125s. There's a 125 tournament, and I thought to myself today, I should really be betting this, but
I just need a break. Plus 7.5. Let's go.
7.5.
It was like you see Hovland win, and I'm like, I don't know if anyone has bet Victor Hovland more than Kelly and I have over the last few years. Like, I've bet a lot of Victor Hovland, and when he's hoisting trophies and I don't have a bet in on him, I'm kind of like, oh boy.
It's that combined with I don't know that there's any guy that I've gained more respect for over the past year than Colin Morikawa, right? So to see him melt down and Hovland win, you're like, oh man. Like even a live ticket on Hovland going into round four would have been awesome.
So apparently Hovland like doesn't have social media and stuff. Like even though he's a young kid and whatever, like apparently he doesn't do social media and all those things, and it's like the most humble person on the face of the planet. And he was like in line at the airport, and somebody was like, like kind of like the whole thing, like, oh, I can't place you or something. Like, why do I know? I should know who you are. And they're like, well, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I play a little golf. And that was it. That's what he said to the person. I play a little golf. And then he just like went back on his way. Like, he doesn't care about taking pictures. He doesn't care about any of that stuff.
That's awesome. I play a little golf. The friend of the family once was playing golf with. There was an old 300-plus game winner in baseball, Connie Mack, who's a famous old baseball player. And when he was, I don't even know if he's still around, but I remember when I was a kid, he told a story about how he was playing with Connie Mack, and a third guy came over and was like, did you play baseball a little bit or something? He goes, yeah, I won a few games.
Yeah,
that kind
of
thing.
Just no big deal.
300
not
plus.
Not looking for the gram and all that stuff.
Yeah, I won a few games. Yeah, I play a little golf. Kelly, let's update the score, sir. What do you got?
Let's do that. Okay, so that NBA game right now, we've got Mavericks 77, Nets 65. This game, 4:15 remaining in the third quarter. Live numbers right now, 9.5. Mavericks 9.5 at DraftKings, 216.5 live total. Man, I got a terrible number. Knicks up on the Spurs, 22-20, 120 left in the first quarter. Knicks 2.5-point live favorite, 205.5 is the live total. Over in the NHL, we got a bunch of games in progress. Predators up on the Red Wings, 3-1, 15 minutes left to go in the third period. The Canadiens up on the Lightning, 2-1, 12 minutes left in the third. Montreal, -310 live. Tampa, +225, 4.5 is your live total, shaded to the over. Islanders up on the Senators, 3-1, 15 minutes left in the third. The Maple Leafs all over the Blue Jackets, 5-2, 17 minutes left in the third. Ducks up on the Sabres, 1-0 in the second intermission. Ducks -550 live, Sabres +350. 3 is your live total shaded to the over. Hurricanes lead the Jets 2-0, 19 minutes left in the second period. Live numbers currently off the board. Panthers up on the Blues, 1-0. Looking good for Andy there. Second period just getting started. Panthers -450 live. Blues +295. Live total of 5 shaded to the over. And Blackhawks lead the Rangers 2-1. 6.5 minutes left to go in the first period. Blackhawks -210 live. Rangers +155. 7.5 your live total. And college basketball, Oh, this is getting heated. 135 left in this game between Texas Tech and Tennessee, all tied up at 41. Live money line right now.
41?
Hold on. 2 minutes left?
Yeah, 130. I see it over there. Isn't it up there? It's up there.
No, but you're getting it like the score is 41 to 41.
Yeah, I get it. It's college basketball.
Total is one.
Texas Tech, I feel like I remember, has a pretty good defense usually.
Total is 137.5.
Live total.
It's going to hit my 50.
Live total of 94.
Kelly's like, yeah, I get it. 41-41. What's your problem?
We're like, because the total's going to miss by 50. That's why.
It's college basketball, man. I don't know. If you told me the total of this game was a 101.5 free game, I would have believed you.
126 left. 41-41. Wow. That's awesome.
There are two hockey games still to go if anybody wants to get involved. The Wild and the Oilers are at right now, actually. So you're going to want to get on this one. Oilers, -130 favorites, +110 on the Wild. And then there's the 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, Flames and Sharks. Flames are -140 favorites on the road. Sharks are +120 home underdogs in that one.
But I did not bring up the CJ McCollum news on the air yet.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Please do.
I've told you it's off the air. So this was... Yeah, he missed the game last night that I bet. He apparently got injured in the fourth quarter of their game Saturday against the Celtics. Has a collapsed right lung, so he did not travel with the team for their game against Golden State tomorrow, as you can imagine. No, I haven't seen a timetable on his return. And they're not – I'm looking at a team release right now. They're not making it seem like it's that big of a
right
deal,
lung.
But like it sounds like it would be. You know, we see these quarterbacks every once in a while.
Did he have a collision on the – I missed it. Did he have a collision?
Yeah, apparently. Collision in that game. I didn't see it in the game either. I watched
it. You had the Clippers in game yesterday or pre-flop? What did you have yesterday? Clippers?
I had Clippers pregame a couple times.
Did you watch the end of that game? Because that was nip and tuck till the last.
It was too sweaty for my liking.
And then Paul George went off.
It was the best game the Blazers could have possibly played.
I agree.
That's what was annoying me. I was like, I had the perfect handicap, perfect bet for this. The Blazers are playing perfectly, except when it got to that. There was the flagrant foul,
it all
and then
turned
it was like it was kind of over.
One possession. Like George just absolutely crossed over, gave himself room and hit nothing but the net on a 17-footer while Nurkic elbowed
Hartenstein
in the face. Right. And that went from like a 4-point game
to
like
nine,
I
think,
in one possession, right. Because he got the one free throw and then a dunk on the ensuing possession.
That's a team. This is...
How many NBA bets have you hit in a row, Kelly? Tell everybody.
This is 15 in a row dating back to November 19th.
15 in a row.
So we need 20 points tonight out of Schroeder.
Well, and I just bet... I mean, that's pregame, live, and player props.
How did we go 2 hours and 8 minutes without bringing that up?
I don't know. Because the NBA is so streaky.
We want to do it.
The NBA is so streaky. There is a very good chance the next streak I have is like 10 losses in a row.
Well, we'll be sure to bring that up as well.
Right, yeah.
Kelly, how many have you lost in a row?
I guarantee you I will be complaining about that when that happens.
Hey.
If we're gonna lift you up, we'll help you back down.
Right. Don't worry about it.
Thanks,
guys.
We'll lift you up. We'll help you back down.
But yeah, so I've got two on the line tonight. Then Nets +7.5 live right now, and then Schroeder over 19.5.
Texas Tech has taken an insurmountable 43-41 lead.
It's over. Call it.
37 seconds left. I don't know how Tennessee can possibly come back from this deficit, but they're going to try.
They are going to miss the total by 50.
Not if they have four overtimes, my friend. Overs are still alive if that happens.
Golly.
So I just want to say this. So there's a difference between competitive and good, right? So we see this a lot in this era of college basketball. People are like, oh, it's so great. It's competitive. Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's good.
Right.
43-41, I get it. Maybe the defenses are good, but come on. You can't have more shot makers than that? 40-minute basketball game? I guess not. Tennessee's the 13th ranked team in the country, too, by the way. Trailing by a bucket. Beard no longer at Texas Tech. Remember, he's at Texas now.
A little bit of news came through here not too long ago. So NFL Network's Taylor Biscotti says that Keenan Allen is vaccinated, so he could play for the Chargers this week if he can get the two negative tests 24 hours apart. So he is not out for sure for them. And we did see just this week someone just this week was able to get back on the two tests. I don't remember exactly who it was, but someone was able to make it back with the two negative tests 24 hours apart. So there is at least hope that Keenan Allen will be out there for the Chargers.
Isn't it amazing that almost, well, let's call it year and three quarters after all of this global pandemic broke that we are talking about it affecting sports more than we ever have?
I think I've said it three or four times this year, but it's affected more NFL bets for me this season than last season. I don't even think it's close.
Maybe the writing on the wall here, too, for the Giants, guys. The Giants signed Clayton Thorson.
Oh, love
him. Oh, wait. Who did he play for again in college?
To their practice squad.
I remember betting on him in like a bowl game or something.
I was making fun of it, but apparently Gil knows who he actually is.
No, because when Mike White came up with the Jets, I was like, I think I bet on him in a bowl game. Clayton Thorson played at Northwestern, of course. Drafted by the Eagles fifth round in 2019.
Director Jeremy nailed it. He was all over it.
Yeah.
So Clayton Thorson signed by the Giants to their practice squad.
It's a strong name.
That's typically one of those things, like we said. Sometimes they'll tip their hand.
Oh, Tennessee with a three to tie it with 30 seconds left at 44 apiece. Drama. Texas Tech final possession across the timeline. We're going to get out of here in time? No, we're not. It's going to time out. No, we're going to have to go to break. Do something. 18, 17, yo-yo in the dribble. 15. I'm sorry, we got to go to break. Texas Tech drives to the hole. Shot. No good. Rebound Tennessee. Tennessee's going to get the final shot. Coming back, Drew Dinsick, VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN holiday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. It is a limited time offer, however, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. They went to overtime. Tennessee and Texas Tech tied at 44 apiece. So the dreams of hitting the over are still alive.
They're still alive. You're going to need
49 points.
A lot. Jeff Benson, yes. Sportsbook Operations Manager over at Circa, just tweeted out.
Also nicest man on earth.
For those he's
up there. He's right.
For those that care about this kind of thing,
yeah.
An updated potential national championship matchup, Georgia versus Alabama, Georgia by one.
So, like a 5.5 to 6 point difference from what we saw in the championship game?
Yeah. Here's my question. Would you have guessed that line?
I would have thought Bama by two.
Yeah, I think I would have thought Bama by a skosh also. Mechie's out, though, so that matters.
I think I would have guessed around a pick 'em. I would understand from an odds maker's perspective of overcorrecting that line too much.
I do think, honestly, if they had said just, it's a pick 'em, everybody at it, I don't think anybody would have blinked. Everybody would be like, yeah, that sounds about right, which is essentially what it is, right? They didn't do any of the other matchups, just that one?
No, just that one.
Hmm. Guess they figured, why bother? Do you give Cincinnati or Michigan? Let's start with Cincinnati. Do you give Cincinnati a puncher's chance?
No.
Do you give Michigan a puncher's chance?
Yes.
Me too.
Because I think it's going to be a super low-scoring game, and anytime it's a super low-scoring game, I mean, let's just look at last night. I mean, basically the Patriots dominated that game for the majority of the game, and what could have happened, they could have easily have lost that game. It's such a low-scoring game. They could have easily have lost that game. And so I kind of have that one pegged as like super low-scoring. I know the total's low compared to the other game, but I think it could be a 17-10 type game, right? Like one of those just super, super low scoring slugfests. And so anytime it's something like that, for sure, I give them a chance.
What would you put the odds at you being able to watch the second half New Year's Eve?
Whew. I don't know, man.
I think it's plus money.
Is that a weekend? Are we here?
We're here.
Oh, we're here.
Yeah, we're here for that game.
Oh, okay. There you
go. But the second half question still applies.
Minus 1,000 then.
Yeah, no, no, the second half's fair because that's it's college football, so this will start 4:30 Pacific time.
Yeah, we're never getting to the second
we
half.
We usually only get to the second half in NFL. Those games start at 5:15, so yeah. We'll probably be leaving here right at halftime.
You have New Year's plans? You already got them locked in?
No. It's always I always wait uncomfortably long to where you have to like ask a favor, which I never like to do. Like it's like I'm like I could have just done this 3 weeks ago and not had to ask a favor. But
you should call up Delilah, see if you get.
Yeah.
Hey, can I get it? No.
Can I get that table I got last time? It was awesome.
You know the one that's at the Encore.
You know the one that I could literally be eating anywhere.
That's right. It's like great.
The best part. The best part. I just since you've experienced it now, like it's the best part. Is they told me they go, the music is just ambient.
Oh, wow.
As if like you're not there for the show.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah. You're not selling me on that.
We are referring to a highly, I don't want to use the word exclusive, but I guess that's the best word to use, supper club.
Tough to get in. You got to make reservations well in advance.
I have been there 3 times. The first 2 times, though, I went with a guy who was high up at the Wynn, so I was able to get primo seating. The 3rd time I went rogue, and Matt was telling me, I waited 2 months to get an outdoor table. I'm like, don't worry, man, I got it.
Yeah,
you
like warned you almost.
No problem, I got this. Already had it twice. So immediately when I walk in there, they do the turn,
and I'm like, oh, no.
Behind, I'm like, oh. No.
You are literally completely separated from everyone else in the restaurant.
If you ever need your ego checked.
Yeah.
Go to Delilah's.
Yeah.
They will let you know where you are on the pecking order. Yeah.
I mean, it was something else. Like, you are completely separated from everyone else on the inside.
We were laughing through it. And I swear, I told Deborah, I go, Matt said he waited 2 months for this table. Yeah.
The most hilarious thing about it was we were just like, yeah, you know, I mean, made these, like really far in advance. So we kind of, like, wanted to be in there. And she goes, oh, the music is ambient.
Oh, that's such a, it's, I'm like, a horrible
thing. I'm like,
thing
your
to
billboard
say.
Says entertainment, like whatever, and all this stuff. Like, no, it's not. Like, don't give me that.
That
garbage.
Said, it's spectacular because you walk into the 1920s lounge. It's phenomenal. But the music is definitely not ambient.
No, it's a show.
It's the whole show.
It's a show.
All right. Odds to, we promised this earlier. Odds to finish the regular season with the fewest wins. Now that the Lions have won, it's no longer when they'll get their win. By the way, do we remember what the number was on the Lions beating the Vikings? What that number was in the market of first win?
Oh, yeah. What was
it? Was not the short shot.
I'll try to find it.
It was not the long shot, but it was like, I want to say it was like 3-1 or something like that. Anyway, now we're at the odds to finish the regular season with the fewest wins. So Lions get the win. They're 1-10-1. They have a very difficult remaining strength of schedule. So they are the favorite at minus 200 to finish with the fewest wins. But a half game behind, or do we call it ahead of them? Jaguars and Texans both at 2-10. Schedule's much easier. Jets at 3-9 on the outside looking in here at 18-1.
I need the Lions to win.
Or on the inside looking out.
I need the Lions to win a game.
All right, so on November 10th.
Why? Because you bet this?
Yeah, because I had Texans under 5.5, under 5, and then also fewest wins.
Oh. So you need the Lions to win a game?
I need the Lions to win a game.
Because the Texans don't appear to be winning one anytime soon.
They do not. They do not. And I don't think I don't think the Jags are either, but I don't know how that'll work out. I'll deal with it. But I mean, so Denver, Arizona, not gonna get that. It's at Atlanta, at Seattle for the Lions as the only hope, because then they close out with Green Bay. And Green Bay's likely to be still maybe potentially chasing that number one seed. So Atlanta and Seattle, can the Lions get it done?
If someone is landing, this is a DraftKings, so if someone's in a DraftKings jurisdiction, they're like, I want to make a bet on this, tell me who to bet, you would say?
It would still have to be the Lions. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's Denver, Arizona, Green Bay. Those are probably most likely 3 losses. And then Atlanta, Seattle, both those on the road.
I would say the Lions, now that they have their win, they're like contenta, but they don't strike. I mean, they're really playing for Dan Campbell. Like we said, last 4 weeks.
Did you see the videos of that locker room?
Oh, they love the guy.
They really do.
I said this on a numbers game. This has nothing to do with sports betting. But, like, we killed Dan Campbell.
Yes.
Before the season. And that dude could not have handled that better.
Between what, the press conference?
They gave him the game ball. They've been waiting a full season for this win. And instead of, like, reveling in it, he immediately talks about, I'm getting chills saying it, all the victims in the Oxford shooting. Yeah. And you have to say, what a great pitch perfect post game that was.
I have not, that locker room, you'd have thought they won the Super Bowl because they cared that much for that dude. They cared that much for that guy.
I'm glad we brought it up. I was going to say something about it yesterday, forgot about it, and it is nothing to do with sports betting, but totally worth mentioning. We rarely talk about the impact we see a guy make in the locker room, but like you said, Matt, it was so obvious those guys all love playing for that
The
man.
Little bit, I guess, that it does have to do with sports betting for sure
is the argument against betting the Lions.
It's like you've got the Jags, who couldn't care less about Urban Meyer, like the Texans, who, by the way, you saw the GM today, who basically for the Texans was like, they're like, oh, David Culley going to be back next year. He's like, we'll assess.
I didn't hear that. Yeah. I missed that.
We'll assess the order. So didn't say that he'd be back next year. So, I mean, at least you know the Lions are going to play
it. Yes, they are.
And the way to the
last
end.
Four games, they tied, lost by three, lost by two, and won. So they've been competitive for a month now. So I don't know that I'd go Lions minus 200 here. I'm getting the feels for Dan Campbell.
I know. James Robinson does this radio show every Monday. They talking to him about the coaching staff benching him because he fumbled, and he was just kind of like, yeah, it was weird to me.
And James Robinson, who Urban Meyer discovered like week three that he had on his roster. Oh, this guy's good?
It was crazy to me. Like, he's sitting there, he's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to fumble, obviously, but then, you know, they put me on ice. And they're like, did you think it was weird that they put you back in when the game is completely out of hand and you're battling an injury, and yet they put you back in the game? And he kind of like had to tiptoe around that one. He was like, I just didn't really pay attention to the clock all that much.
Meanwhile, his like thought bubble is saying, my coach thinks he's Belichick.
Yeah. His thought bubble was like, I didn't want to go back in the game since I've been nursing an injury and we're down 100 million points. But yes.
By the way, that's another thing that Belichick does not get credit for this year. Remember, he was always the guy. If you fumble, we'll never see that running back again for like a month.
Yeah.
This year, he realized he no longer is going to employ that strategy. Yeah. It's like, I don't care. We're a running team. And if you fumble, get back in there, kid.
Yeah.
So that's been a change in his approach, too, much to the benefit of the New England Patriots. We will come back. We will go over the scores. Looks like Texas Tech is going to get it done. 55-49 over 13th-ranked Tennessee. 4.8 seconds left in overtime. So unless Tennessee has a 6-point play here, Texas Tech is going to get the upset victory. Coming back, primetime action.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Primetime Action, do not forget that our holiday offer is still in full effect mode. Right now, when you sign up for a $99 midseason football special, you also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hat, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Limited time offer, though, we keep telling you. We're not lying. So sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe.
1,554 Egyptian pounds.
Wow. That's good knowledge. What's the $20 credit back, Mr. Smarty Pants?
I'll tell you right now, that $20 credit is going to get you 304. You're going to get 314 Egyptian of those pounds back.
All right, there you go. So it's like 1,200 and something.
There you go.
All said and done.
Bam.
Here's a man who probably knows his currency exchanges. The elusive Drew Dinsick from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. How you doing, man?
Man. Apologies.
That's all right, man. We waited for you. You good?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Looks like you've been through it.
sweating out this Knicks game now. Knicks are up 7 as we're rounding into halftime here. But
what are you laying? 2.5?
Yes, got the worst of the number there. Still have I asked everyone I know who bets NBA. I do not know who moved that market against me, but that was violent. It flipped all the way to Spurs as a small favorite at one point. So got the worst of the number, but still riding my Knicks. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, halftime, Knicks up by 7. So far, so good, 56-49. That was the score late in the second quarter, so it's a little further along, but they're still up 7 right now are the Knicks. All right, so you have your week 14, pardon me, sides. You have added a few since this morning. Let's go through a couple of them.
Yeah, the Browns are that's kind of the low-hanging fruit, and, this is a team, obviously, I went to war with a lot this season, and this is now or never. Really, we've talked about the spot so many times at this point, Gil. I mean, what was it? Preseason breakdown the schedule. Whoa, oh my God, look what they did in week 14. They give the Browns sort of the absolute widowmaker spot where they get a second and a third week to prepare for the Ravens after they get them head to head in Baltimore. Meanwhile, the Ravens have to go and play at Pittsburgh. Well, not only was that a black and blue contest against Pittsburgh, but they lose their most important player defensively in Marlon Humphrey. Marlon Humphrey out for the rest of the season. And realistically, there was a game this year that the Ravens played where Marlon Humphrey was not 100%, and he had a very bad game, and that was against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't know if you remember how that game went, but this Baltimore Ravens defense in the absence of a fully healthy Marlon Humphrey is potentially atrocious against the pass. This is an absolute best case scenario for the Browns to try to right their season. If they don't get this win, then blow it up. Two and a half is a fair price if Humphrey goes. With him out of the lineup here, this should probably be on the other side of a field goal, in my opinion. And on top of that, nothing is clicking right now offensively for the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is struggling behind a very, very weak offensive line. He is getting sacked at numbers that are just absolutely eye-popping. And the offensive coordinator is doing nothing. Greg Roman doing nothing to try to help him, try to ease some of the issues that he's dealing with in terms of the pressure he's facing, and doesn't get any easier against the Browns defensive line that has some absolute horses. So I think the Browns finally get on the right side here, get in the win column, get above 500, and try to make their way into this playoff picture.
Yeah, what you're referring to, in case people missed that, the two most interesting scheduling quirks, one is Washington, which Drew's about to talk about, which is Dallas, Philly, which I don't ever remember seeing before. We talked about it when the schedule first came out. But the one you're referring to also I don't remember ever happening.
I don't ever remember seeing it.
Ravens, this is the Browns schedule. Ravens, remember that was the 16-10 sloppy Sunday night game, bye for the Browns, then the Ravens at home. Whereas the Ravens get a game in between. Don't ever remember that happening.
No, me neither. Yeah, me neither. It seems like they probably, when that squirted it out and they realized that was going to be a thing, they're probably like, yeah, we should probably do that again. Probably shouldn't do that again. All right, so you're on the football team here plus the points. You are not worried about that secondary covering this trio of receivers.
If this were in Jerry World, I wouldn't touch this with a 7-foot pole. The fact that it is in Raljan with that sloppy winter field, I do think neutralizes things to a degree in terms of these guys being able to generate separation against the secondary for the Washington football team. Realistically, in the two head-to-heads between these two teams last year, granted, we know Dallas was not at full strength. They did not have Dak Prescott. It still was not competitive. Both games, Washington utterly dominated. And I think there are a couple of things that they do well right now that coming out of their bye, that they are just absolutely clicking. And, I have to expect that this is probably still a Dallas win. But if you're going to give me outside of a field goal in a divisional matchup with a slow field, I will happily get involved with this football team at this price.
All right. Continuing, the Rams Monday night at the Cardinals. And this number did funny things today.
Yeah, do you know why this
moved? We don't. We have no idea.
I've been freaking out about it all show, Drew. I have no idea what's going on because I laid 2.5 of the Cardinals last night.
Huh. Well, I'll get to the bottom of this before tomorrow. We'll do some digging on this. But realistically, this was this is kind of keeping with the theme of how you deal with an NFC West matchup this season. You take the dog. These teams are all so close. None of them really have meaningful home field advantage. And on top of that, Kyler Murray dealing with some injuries. Obviously, he was fine against the Chicago Bears. He had some flashes where he looked himself, but ultimately, I think he is still dealing with a number of injuries. It's not just the ankle that kept him out for that couple of games. He's got shoulder. He's got finger. He's definitely a candidate here for a little bit of a regression in terms of performance, especially if the Rams can contain him in the pocket. and if he's unwilling to get it done on the ground. I don't know that this is probably my least confident play on the, of the card. It's just a matter of you know, this ought to be closer to a pick 'em by my numbers, and I'll take go to war here with the Rams. You're probably selling the Cardinals to a degree. You're selling them at the top of their price range.
I'll skip the Falcons here because we all believe that, you know, we all believe that the Panthers shouldn't be 3-point favorites against anybody. So, like, we know what the handicap is there. So let's go to the let's go down to the Chiefs here, 9.5 at home against the Raiders.
Yeah. So the Chiefs, obviously, offense is not looking great. There's no denying that. And so it behooves the question, why lay two scores here with a team that is not clicking offensively? And it all comes down to, you look at the two games that preceded their bye for them, where they played the Raiders and they played the Cowboys. And the, what was the common theme between those two teams and the wins that were achieved by the Chiefs is those teams weren't playing the two high safety looks. And particularly in that Raiders game, you know, Gus Bradley will not adjust. And so by the true. Way, by the way, he doesn't have the personnel to do it, so we shouldn't even really give him that hard of a time here. But he does not go with the two high safety looks. He leans into the type of defense that Pat Mahomes absolutely carves. So I think this is an opportunity for the Chiefs offense to get right again. And honestly, this is a two-layered play. I really, really hope the Chiefs look good. I really, really hope the Chiefs dominate in this spot, because I would absolutely love to get them at a sell-high spot against the Chargers the following week, because in all the same ways, the Chargers, not only do they run exactly that type of defense, but they have the personnel to do it in spades. So I'm very, very excited here to get a win on the Chiefs, laying the points this week, and come back against them with the Chargers probably on the money line next week.
Yeah, that Chargers game, as we mentioned, if both the Chiefs and the Chargers win this week, Chargers win that game against the Chiefs, they have the tiebreaker over Kansas City in the AFC West. That's a great point about the Raiders personnel, and because everyone was giving Gus Bradley a lot of guff for not adjusting, but you're probably right. He probably just doesn't have the players to do the two high safeties. So does Darren Waller's presence matter to you here?
Not really. I mean, I think the Chiefs in general have largely fixed the major issues that were going on with their defense in terms of some of the small adjustments that they've made to their personnel. The Chiefs realistically were never as bad of a defensive team as what we saw them put on paper for the first 8 weeks of the season. Your defense is almost always a reflection of who you've played recently in terms of schedule anyway. And I thought they did a really nice job in general of conceptually the way that they approach defending the Raiders works, because they kind of understand the key to unraveling Derek Carr's performance is to get pressure up the middle. And that's exactly what Chris Jones does now that they've got him lined back up in the middle. Now that they kind of, you know, they're incorporating Melvin Ingram on the edge, bringing Chris Jones back into the interior in terms of generating pass rush is actually the perfect recipe for getting the worst out of Derek Carr here. And realistically, the Raiders season probably over. I don't know how they get up for this game on the road. I thought their approach to the game against the Washington football team was awful. I don't know how you have 10 days to prepare and that's what you put on, put out there on the field in terms of offensive approach there. So not really interested in getting involved with the Raiders anymore this season. In fact, I think they pretty much played their Super Bowl on Thanksgiving, got the win, and they're going to run out the rest of the schedule.
Drew, we got about a minute. We can take that. We do a segment here called Teaser Tuesday. So we can take the Broncos down to 2 against the Lions. We can take the Seahawks down to 1.5 against the Texans, and we can take the Titans down to 2.5 against the Jags. What's the two-leg teaser?
Definitely the Broncos. That one's solid. I think if you can sell high on the Detroit after finally getting their win, that's an easy call.
Hawks down to 1.5 against the Texans, Titans down to 2.5 against the Jags, or the Ravens up to 8.5 against the Browns.
I don't mind taking the Seahawks down. It certainly looked like some of the issues that that Russell Wilson was dealing with in terms of his injuries issues, I would say have been largely ameliorated. So I think I'm going to take the two chalky sides, Broncos, Seahawks down, and both of them win by at least a field goal.
Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
Hey, best of luck, guys. Thanks for your patience, and good luck with the rest of the card.
You too, man. At @whale_capper. Drew Dinsick, everybody. We'll come back. Final thoughts. VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN College Football Bowl Betting Guide is almost here with everything you need to bet smart on every bowl game. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on all 41 bowl games, including insights, trends, data, and predictions to help you make your best bets. The guide is designed to give you an edge whether you're betting on every game, playing contest, or just want to find a few key high-value props. The guide drops December 13th like an album drop, except it's a college football betting guide drop on December 13th. Make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99. That's $19.99.
Here's the inside information before it even comes out. LSU's going to be playing with their mascot at quarterback.
At VSiN.com/subscribe.
Mike the Tiger is going to be taking the snaps because they don't even have a quarterback to play.
We're pretty cool here at VSiN, Gil. Stuff drops here. Okay?
Do you know what? Do you know what LSU drops. Could do? They could just pull a Belichick and just run it 47
That's
times
what
in the bowl
do.
Game. Yeah.
Totally should do
they
that.
They just don't even have a quarterback. Just line up a running back at quarterback and just do that the whole time.
It's amazing how many people are like, I've had at least five different people today say, oh, I can't believe you hated Belichick's game plan. It's not what I said. What I said was I liked his game plan. His game plan clearly was the right game plan. But let's all try to hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time here. That is, both things can be true. It was a great game plan, but he almost went too far with it is what I'm saying, right? So like, again, I'll just give an example, a famous example in football history. The NFC Championship after the 1986 season, the Giants beat Washington 17-0. It was windy. It was blustery. What did Bill Parcells do? When the wind was against him, very conservative. When it was behind him, he let it all out. 17-0, Giants win, go to the Super Bowl, end up winning the Super Bowl. That's not what Belichick did last night. He took his plan too far to the fact there's only three forward passes. He didn't maximize his opportunities in the second quarter. And one would even say the fourth quarter.
And the fourth quarter, yeah.
Remember,
and
he had that terrible sequence. I think it was like run into the line.
I don't think how anyone could miss. Like, we were sitting, we were praising his.
Yes.
The whole time we were praising, we were like, look at this guy. He's going to milk the clock while he's against the wind. And then, like, so we were just assuming that we were praising the game plan, and it was just, no, there is a certain time, and I know you're saying, like, you're telling Bill Belichick what to do.
Yeah.
Listen,
right.
People,
you're not allowed to say that, apparently.
People are not infallible.
No, they're not.
Like, people are not infallible. It doesn't matter. Like, in retrospect, if you look back, getting points, especially going in that direction, in that game that ended up being only 14-10, which, by the way, the Bills could have won very easily.
Twice.
Getting points on the board, specifically when you're heading in the good direction, was of maximum value. Like, a field goal is like, you're going to be like, what are you talking about? A field goal is worth 7 right there. You know what I'm saying? Like just getting any points on the board in your favor is worth so much right there.
I can't wait for me and Lombardi to discuss this tomorrow. That's going to be a spirited discussion. But, you know, I go back to the Super Bowl that they won against the Seahawks, right? The famous Malcolm Butler pick at the 1-yard line. History smiled on Bill Belichick. But if you remember those 30 seconds before that pick, Belichick had timeouts in his pocket and didn't use them. And if Marshawn Lynch gets the ball and punches it in, because that was peak full-strength Marshawn Lynch, that would not have been a good historical look for Bill Belichick. But guess what? Didn't work out that way. So Belichick, history smiled on him there, too. Doesn't mean, by the way, no one's saying he didn't out-coach Sean McDermott either. Sean McDermott was terrible last night.
Yeah, I mean, if you were evaluating who won that coaching battle, it would still be Belichick all day long. Like, he still won. There's no doubt about that. But that does not mean that some of the stuff along the way is at the very least, questionable. I mean, like, it is not crazy just because he's Bill Belichick to question a decision that he made.
Correct.
Where the heck were the Josh Allen runs, though?
I kept screaming that last night.
Now I finally heard, like, six other people say it, too, but it's like, how is that not a bigger part of the game plan?
That's the Bills. I mean, we talk about how the Bills, let's use a word, we used soft, but generally, the biggest thing with the Bills is they just lack offensive weapons, right? It's like Diggs, cool. Mm-hmm. Dawson Knox, all right. Emmanuel Sanders has never really been massive yet with that team.
And he's on the wrong side of 30. The whole, on the wrong side of the career and that whole 9 yards.
There's no running game. So especially in that weather, like, just run.
Oh, and like all year, right? Their most dependent runner of the football has been Josh Allen almost. I mean, it's the running back's just been a rotation and no guys really stood out that well.
And again, like, in I understand it is blasphemy to talk about Bill Belichick or whatever in a negative light, but to not even just work in a screen, you know, quick little dump off here and there or something like that, just to keep the defense even somewhat questioning what may or may not come. And you're going to say, well, they dominated. Well, they didn't dominate because they only put 14 points on the board.
They didn't.
You can say, well, they ran for 228. What, that equaled 14 points. Like, that's what I'm trying. Like, that does not mean, like, box scores can be deceiving sometimes. And, like, at the end of the day, it's how many points do you put on the board and how much did – There was, I told Gil when we walked in, I was like, there was a point last night, I was pretty sure we were both going to win the game. Because I was 100% positive the Bills were going to score, and it was going to be a touchdown, and they were going to win the game by 3 points. Because they left the door open. Bills were right there. They just couldn't quite seize the moment.
Drew Dinsick, who we just had on, was on the morning show again this morning on the numbers game, and I said the same thing to him about, you know, what did you think? Because I went on that rant, do you agree or disagree? And he was like, oh, he's like, completely. Like, the second quarter was like Belichick decided, I'm going to try to win this game with a hand tied behind my back. Yeah. Like, it was almost like going for style points with it. It made no – and that last drive again. When you get 20 yards on first down with just under 2 minutes left – and then you still decide you're not going to do anything with that drive, that could have been the difference in the game. It wasn't.
Yeah.
So people are going to be like, you don't know what you're talking about. But we just don't do nuance well, where it's like one thing is true and also the other thing is true.
Yeah, we can do we can have all of that. We can say it was a good game plan.
Yes.
While also saying that maybe he turned the dial a little too far.
Yeah, a little too much.
You know?
Well, a little too far.
You know, I love me some good music, but if it's cranked all the way up to where it's blaring too loud, then it's not good anymore.
That's right.
So it's just, lives at a good level, then it's still good. And apparently, though, in the pregame press conference, which we don't catch this because we're doing the show and all stuff, I don't know if it was completely unintentional or if there was just a subtle little thing there, but he did the pregame press conference and he was wearing a Navy mask. Belichick was.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Oh, interesting. His dad coached at Navy, but Navy known for
running it every single time.
Running the football every single time. By the way, that Army-Navy total, 33.5.
33.5 at places here.
They finally caught on.
Yeah, Army's a 7.5-point favorite. This is...
That used to be the best in-game underfest you could ask for, because the total was like in the 40s. 33.5.
And if we weren't clear in that segment, because we let Drew kind of take over, and we were saying what happened to that number again, it was just he was on the Rams at +3. It's down to Cardinals as 2-point favorites now over at DraftKings anyway. So we were trying to wonder what made this game move a whole point. Off the three, which again we know you never really want to move off the three, and this thing moved not only off the three but through 2.5 all the way to 2. To where we're kind of like, what?
Circus at 1.5 here in Vegas.
So there we are, yeah.
And
so.
we don't really get it.
I haven't seen a bit of news that would lend betters to betting into that number.
There was no ascertainable news. By the way, your Brooklyn Nets up 3 on Dallas now with 20 seconds left.
Yeah, not going to get a winner video because, they're taking 97 minutes to complete the last 32
seconds.
You
got them at what? Do we feel comfortable giving it to you anyway?
Because overtime exists in the NBA.
Yeah, but what's your number?
7.5.
You really think Dallas is going to beat Brooklyn by more than 7.5 in overtime?
Overtime is so stupid in the NBA, I never trust it. No, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to jinx it.
All right.
How many times have you seen overtime in the NBA and one team goes out and scores like 2 points and the other drops like 13?
Can I do a ram through on the winner video just to upset you? Like we do on our Andrew?
Fine.
I don't want to jinx you. Don't do it, Isaiah. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
No, don't want to jinx.
The only one I would be okay with is the kid dancing, because I like watching that kid dance.
All right, cue the kid dancing video.
That one's
fun. Do that.
Yeah, let's do
special exception for the kid dancing.
You know what? Here's the deal. If you end up losing this,
look at this kid. Look at that kid.
Kelly, if you end up losing this bet, we'll just start the show tomorrow with a loser video.
Is that a young Isaiah Von Brinkle, by the way?
I wish it was a young me, so I still had those moves.
That kid refuses to move his arms.
Are you
perfect
trying to
say technique?
You don't cut a rug.
I cut a rug, but not like that, like river dance or whatever he's doing. That's pretty impressive.
All right, Kelly. Here, we'll close the show with the best thing that happened on this show today. Was not our debate about the number one or team in the AFC, but was your embarking on a year-long journey to follow a squirrel around for a documentary.
I actually thought it was right at the top of the show when Matt questioned the the building of the show. And then we got into such spirited debates.
Ruining segments, and yet it turned out to be an awesome segment.
But yes, you're right. If anybody would like to donate the $1 billion for me to try to follow around a squirrel for an entire year.
We have to hold squirrel auditions first. Figure out which squirrel you're going to follow, right?
I watched that trailer. It's weird, man. That is weird.
But you're into it.
Why is he touching the octopus so much?
They made contact, he and the octopus. Nightcap next. Tim Murray, Sean King, and Joy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.